Pop Health Podcast is a public service of 24-Hour Home Care. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pop Health Podcast. My name is Gavin Ward, and I'm the host of Pop Health Podcast. And today we are in lovely Irvine, California, just a hop, skip, and a jump from our guest's office and home place. And that is Bob King. I'm also alongside Ryan Berger, our co-host today. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Thanks, Bob. Berger?
Good morning, Gavin. How are you?
Doing well, thanks, although I'm a little disappointed over the weekend, Berger. For those of you that are listening and may have heard of fantasy football, Ryan Berger and myself matched up against each other, and I had a great comeback that fell just short last night. Danny Amendola got hurt in the third quarter. So Berger got the victory. Congratulations, Berger.
Thank you very much.
So Berger and Bob, I think we're both maybe in the same place last week. Ryan, is that correct?
Or? Yes, I think we were ships passing in the night, or maybe planes passing in the night, as it would be. I was in Las Vegas for a conference for home care on Monday of last week, and I believe you then came in on Tuesday or perhaps Monday night as I was flying out.
Right. It's the that was the Decision Health Private Duty Conference. Great bunch of folks. I've spoken there every year, and I was on a power panel of Stump the Attorney. And we had a room full of 100 plus people firing questions at us. It was terrific. It was the lightning round for lawyers, right? And we weren't stumped at the end, and the other attorney high-fived me. So what more can you ask for, right?
Nice.
So, yeah, it's a great conference.
Awesome, Bob. And I know you travel quite a bit, both locally and in the air. Is that correct?
Oh, I do. So I'm an attorney who, as you know, specializes in representing home care agencies, and we work with home care agencies nationwide. I'm on a plane at least once a month in some far-flung location. Speaking of conferences, working with clients, I defended a DOL audit in lovely Alabama a few months ago. So I am anywhere and everywhere clients need me.
Yeah, and DOL, for those in the audience that may not be too familiar with the home care industry, that's Department of Labor. And Bob, there's been quite a bit of change throughout the country with our industry. Is that correct?
Sure. It's been a time that's been very, very challenging for home care agencies, both here in California as well as nationally. Nationally, the exemption for overtime went away for caregivers, which means every single third-party employer, translation, you guys and home care agencies, now has to pay overtime after 40 hours in a week. That's not as big of a deal here in California, but nationally, it's huge. And then, of course, here in California, we've got overtime after 9 hours in a day. We've got overtime after 40 hours in a week. We got minimum wage going up. We've got licensing. It's a busy time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been busy for us. And now Ryan Berger and I have been quite busy as well, kind of comprehending and implementing all of the changes into our business. Fortunately for you, Bob, I think you're taking a little break here. Is that correct?
I am. It's the Thanksgiving holidays, and we go up to the Central Coast. We got family up there. Absolutely beautiful. It's a nice way to relax. I don't even have cell phone coverage where we go, and it's wonderful. So
uh-oh. Well, all your clients who are scrambling, that's too bad.
I can go into town and get coverage, and I have Wi-Fi. I can do email, but cell phones are pretty much a non-starter, and that's just fine with me.
Okay, very good. Well, I know our co-host today, Ryan Berger, you grew up out on the East Coast, and I think you have something in common with Bob. Is that right, Berger, with just kind of spending some time out in the East?
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up outside Philadelphia.
Okay. I'm a Massachusetts guy, south of Boston, a city called Fall River. So.
Oh, yes. I've got a sister who's in Somerville.
Currently. Oh, yeah, sure. That's up near Boston. That's Tufts country, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I did notice a little East Coast in Bob over the years.
No, the only thing is I speak quickly. You know what? But since I'm a lawyer and I bill by the hour, clients actually appreciate that. So
yeah,
that's
such a bad thing.
Absolutely. Now, Bob, looks like, from what I recall, you spent a lot of time in the East. You graduated from Georgetown University, magna cum laude. You've actually done quite a bit of work in the community as well since you've been an attorney. I know Bob's been highly involved with the Home Care Association of America in the past and currently interacts with that group as well. Also with CASA, which is the California Association for Health Services at Home, he's regularly active in. And Bob's company name is actually interesting. I know we're talking about home care, but Bob, tell us a little bit about your history and how you got into in-home employment. It actually wasn't the senior care type of industry, was it?
Sure. So our company's called Legally Nanny. And it's a funny name. I've often thought of rebranding because we do so much home care work. People have like said, oh, you should do Legally Nanny and Granny or something like that. But
yeah.
But here's how we get started. I've got two kids. My daughter is 13. And when we had my daughter, my wife and I were both working. And we needed a nanny. I couldn't find anybody who knew all the legal and tax issues of hiring a nanny. And I'm a lawyer. I worked for a big firm and we represented big companies, but household law is entirely different. And I found accountants who kind of knew some of the tax stuff, and I couldn't find any lawyers who knew a squat about home care law. So I learned it. And I said, gee, there's got to be a market for this. And so, you know, I had in my mindset that we're going to help families hire nannies legally. And within the first month, we started getting calls from people saying, I'm not hiring a nanny. I'm hiring a caregiver for my mom. Can you help me with that? And I didn't even have senior care on the brain at that point. And I said, sure, it's no problem. And then we started getting calls from home care agencies saying, you actually understand what we do in our business. Can you help us? And we did. And now the irony of Legally Nanny is I probably do 80% of my work as home care and maybe 15% or no, maybe like 10% nanny agencies and 10% working directly with families.
Yeah.
So that's how we started. And, you know, it's funny because originally the firm name Legally Nanny was made it difficult to break into home care.
Yeah.
But now we've done it. And I've served on the board of directors for Home Care Association of America. I'm very involved with CASA. I represent scores of home care agencies here in California and nationwide. And now the name is kind of funny and it reminds people of who we are and people remember it. So we're keeping it and it's been a great ride.
Awesome.
So how long ago was that?
So we started Legally Nanny 12 years ago, I believe. Yeah, 12 years ago.
Okay. So the reason I ask, I got in the industry about 11 years ago now.
Oh, let me take that back. 13. Sorry to interrupt. 13, okay. Yeah.
So in my 11 years, I've seen a lot of change. That's just from the kind of surface level. I imagine that in that 13-year period, you've seen a lot of changes, especially most recently. But can you kind of explain the differences between when you first started and where we are now and kind of what's happened?
Sure. When we first started, life was easy. Right? There was no overtime for caregivers. You could deduct sleep time. There were all these fun things that made life really, really easy if you wanted to hire somebody or work with a home care agency. And life has become much more complicated for home care. Whether you're a family who employs directly or you're a home care agency, the minimum wage laws, the overtime rules, it's become not only more expensive, but much more tedious with all the record keeping to be able to make sure you're paying people appropriately. And if you don't, there are massive penalties. It's also become a lot more litigious. You get not only investigations from governmental agencies, but you get plaintiff's lawyers who are ready to pounce on any even innocent sort of mistake. So it's become more challenging. But that, I think, works to your advantage because it's so complex that as a family, it's much easier to turn it over to a professional like 24-Hour Home Care and say, you guys deal with this. This is what you do.
Right.
As opposed to me trying to hire directly.
Yeah, and you said earlier you deal both with agencies and families.
Sure.
So there are, you know, multiple ways of hiring a caregiver. So let's jump back into you getting into the home care world. You're not working alone, are you?
So my wife does all the marketing. And she has the very difficult task of making what I write sound like it's written by a human being instead of a lawyer. And so presentations and our website and all of that, she does all of it. And it's great. And then for litigation matters, we have co-counsel. And I always work with other lawyers. I do that primarily because I want my clients to feel assured that if something happens to me, the show goes on. There's still a defense.
Yeah.
It works well for me. The lawyers I work with are folks I've trusted for years and years and years, and it's terrific. I love what I do. I call myself chronically unemployable. I would never go back to work for anybody else. I don't ever plan to retire. I was talking to somebody in the car as I was driving here. I'm going to keep doing this until the day I drop because it's fun for me.
Wow. That's pretty neat to be able to get paid and doing something fun. I know I share that thought. I'm doing a podcast, and it's part of my job, so that's pretty neat. So Jennifer is your wife's name, and you guys have been married for how long, if you mind me asking?
We've been married for, I got to get this right.
Yeah, otherwise, I was gonna say, don't mess this up.
We've been married for 21 years.
Ah, very good. Yeah. So, and then working together for 13.
For 13 years, yeah.
Wow. And just from the notes, when I did some research on your history, Bob, Both of you, you guys are smart folks. Magna cum laude, one from Pepperdine, one from Georgetown. So cream of the crop here, Ryan Berger. I don't know about you, but I had a 3.25 from a school that many people don't even know about, called Westmont College in Santa Barbara. I know you went to a smaller school, too.
I'm not going to talk about my GPA on
here. But he made it. You got the piece of paper in the end?
Yes. I graduated. My parents are proud. I had a good school, Denison University in the middle of Ohio. And then I came out to California, so that's a whole different story. But I graduated, not with anything extra. I graduated. I'm very happy about that.
He was too busy on the lacrosse field. Ryan Berger's All-American lacrosse player. So quite the athlete we have next to us today.
Thank you.
So let's jump into some of the meat and potatoes of what you do and what's happening in the home care industry today. Tell us a little bit more about maybe the changes this year, a little bit more specifically. You talked about licensure. What is that in California?
Sure. Well, let's start with some changes that affect everybody. Okay, yeah. So first of all, come January 1st, the minimum wage in California is going to go up to $10 an hour. That applies to everybody, whether you're a family or a home care agency. And by the way, that may not be a shocker for a lot of people because there have been so many cities that have already raised their minimum wage. So if you're up in the Bay Area, San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, San Jose, you already live with higher minimum wages. And even down here, LA and LA County passed minimum wage increases that will take it up to $15 an hour as of 2020. San Diego tried to pass an increase in the minimum wage. It's going to go to the ballot. We'll see how that shakes out. So minimum wages are on the rise. That's probably the story of the year throughout California.
Yeah.
Licensing. So if you're a home care agency, you need to be licensed. That is a major endeavor. First of all, it's a licensing fee of over $5,000.
Yep.
Each caregiver has to be licensed. That's a fee of $25 per caregiver. And it's a massive amount of paperwork. The advantage of that is it's going to shake out a lot of bad agencies.
Yeah.
Because so many agencies are going to say, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I'm closing up shop. They're mom and pop agencies. The people operate out of their second bedroom from upstairs. They're not you guys. And I think the advantage of it is that it will really make the cream rise.
Yeah, we agree. We've seen a lot of consolidation or folks getting out of the business.
You're going to see, my prediction is you will see at least 10% fewer home care agencies in the state of California as of next year.
Yeah.
That's the level of, between that and everything else that's happening. And you know what? That's a good thing. I think you're going to root out a lot of bad apples as a result.
Yeah. No, we feel, you know, it's survive the storm, you know, if you would. We see positive changes in 2016 and beyond.
Well, and look, from a consumer perspective, licensing is great, okay, because you're assured that you're dealing with a reputable agency that's crossed all of its T's and dotted all of its I's, knows what it's doing, and is held accountable.
Yeah.
You've done background checks, you have a bond, you have all of that sort of stuff. I think it's a good thing from a consumer perspective.
Yeah, I agree. And my understanding is caregivers that are working directly with families also can register themselves.
That's right. That's right. And the other major thing, and this is so important for people who are listening to this podcast, that licensing is going to distinguish you from a registry. And so for people out there who don't know what a registry is an agency that refers caregivers to families, and then the family becomes the employer. And that sounds like a fine model. It's legal under the state of California. The problem is the registries don't make the required disclosures. And when they don't, you have unsophisticated seniors who are shopping for home care. They've never done this before. A registry sounds like you. It looks like you. They don't know the difference. And then they sign up with this registry because it's nominally cheaper. They try and save a few bucks an hour. And they become the employer. And they're not following rules. They're not paying minimum wage. They're not paying overtime. They're not doing taxes. And it's a complete mess. Well, now, if you're a home care agency, you're going to have to be licensed. And that's what's going to distinguish you from registries and help clients avoid that sort of pitfall.
So recently in the news, we've been seeing a lot of things about some flashy new companies that are advertising. There's a lot of investment dollars behind some of these companies trying to change what home care is. Are you familiar with this? Could you speak towards this
Sure.
and what it means for the industry, especially here in California?
Sure. So I can't speak to any one company in particular, but I know what you're talking about. And those companies are fine as long as people understand what they're getting into.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a match.com.
Yep.
If you're just trying to find a caregiver and you don't want any help with that process. You don't really want any screening. You don't really want anybody to try and match up your needs. You're going to do it entirely on your own. That's fine. But then you have to understand that you're the employer, and yeah, you have the responsibilities for payroll, for taxes, for workers' compensation, all of that.
So legally, do those companies, what is the law when it comes to disclosing that information to the people who are the consumer of the service?
So registries are required to make verbal and written disclosures to both clients and caregivers that the clients are the employers, okay, or at least may be the employers, I should say.
Yeah.
The problem is most of them don't do it, okay? You not only should have it in a contract language, you're required by law after you make a referral of the caregiver within 3 days to provide a written notice to the client that they may have employer responsibilities. Most of the time it's not done. But the problem for registries is if they don't follow the letter of the law and do every last little thing, they are the employer.
Yeah.
So then when the DOL or the DLSE, the California Labor Commissioner's Office, cracks down on them, they're out of business because they haven't paid overtime, they don't have workers' comp, et cetera, et cetera. But the families can also get burned in this process too because they're not fulfilling their employer responsibilities. So I think as long as you know what you're buying,
yep,
and you want to go into it eyes wide open and you can deal with it all on your own, that's fine. Yeah. But that's not the case in most instances.
Yeah. So what are some good questions for folks to ask?
The first question every consumer should ask when looking around for home care if they're going through an agency is, do you employ the caregivers? Okay. And if the answer to that question is no, I would think long and hard about whether or not you're going to use that agency. It doesn't mean you can't. I mean, we work with a number of families who decide they're going to do it on their own.
Right.
And that's okay. But you need an accountant to help you with the payroll. And you have to be aware of all your legal responsibilities. It's not an insurmountable job. Many people hire nannies directly. You can do it. It's just as long as you know it. And so I like to compare it to taxes.
Okay.
You can do your own taxes. You can buy a copy of TurboTax. But you're going to do some work with that. You're the one that's going to have to input all the data and make sure it's right. Or you can just go to H&R Block and dump the shoebox full of receipts in front of the accountant and say, you do it. Okay. Neither is a bad way of doing it as long as you know what you're getting into. But if you're on, you know, April 14th and you fire up TurboTax for the first time, it's probably not going to work out so well. Okay.
Right.
And so that's why I'm a big advocate. Like, I am perfectly capable of mowing my own lawn. We have a gardener that does that because I don't want to spend my time to deal with it. It's the same sort of thing. I would think most families would have better things to do than trying to manage all this stuff. And that's why they go to professionals like you folks.
Yeah. No. There was a situation I had recently where there was three different ways of hiring an air conditioning contractor. And I can go the cheap route, which is a non-licensed guy who did it on his own, kind of a middle-of-the-road company and the more expensive company. And I'm a cheap person myself, as my wife would attest to. And Tina, hope you're hearing this. Actually, I'll make sure she does. That way she knows I recognize and acknowledge it.
Despite all the fantasy football fees. Yes, go on.
Just one-time fee for the year. We don't do that daily stuff.
How many leagues are you in?
Just one.
Just one. Impressive.
Just one.
Okay.
We don't do that daily stuff. We stay away from that. That's all over the news too. But anyway. And I actually really surprisingly went with the most expensive because they covered everything. They covered all the taxes, all the permits, everything. And it gave me a lot of peace of mind. And I'm usually the type that likes to do things on my own, like TurboTax, for example.
I'm a TurboTax guy.
Okay. Yeah. But there's just certain things that it's too much responsibility and too much risk. So I appreciate you kind of running through.
Well, and here's the other thing. Like, I'll use my mom as an example. She is 84. Knock on wood, she's in great health. She's in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
There's no way I would hire directly if my mom needed a caregiver. I'm here in California. I'm not there to supervise it. I would absolutely want the peace of mind of using an agency. Now, if my mom lived a couple blocks away, would it be different? Possibly. You know, but that's also because I know how to do this stuff. If I didn't know how to do this stuff, I would still think long and hard about whether or not to hire somebody directly.
That's pretty eye-opening considering that you are an expert, perhaps the foremost expert in this field, and you're still saying, I don't want to have to deal with it. I'd rather hire a company who handles it and can take care of all that stuff.
It's huge. Well, because think about what you do. It's not only you take care of it, but you also supervise. If the caregiver's out, there's a replacement there.
Yeah.
Okay, you discipline. You're responsible for that caregiver. Okay, my mom's in Massachusetts. I want somebody who's going to take responsibility. So if there's something missing from the home, I don't have to worry about it. I know that the home care agency is going to deal with it and be Johnny on the spot with that. And that's huge. It's an enormous peace of mind that you're paying for.
Without going into too much detail, are there any stories in your decade plus of experience where maybe a family did something and you had to get involved? Maybe like a maybe theft or termination or maybe circumstances where, man, that family's like, I wish I went a different route here.
Sure. I have a client where the caregiver is getting married to the client.
Wow.
Which, as you can imagine, the family is not terribly happy about. But and it caused this huge row. And there's people who aren't within the family who aren't speaking to each other, including siblings. One sibling was tasked with managing the caregiver, and it didn't really obviously go so well. And so the other siblings are mad. And it's not just caregivers. I mean, there's the well-publicized story of the nanny who was a live-in nanny who decided she wasn't going to move out.
Yeah.
I wasn't involved with that case, although I commented on it extensively. I think there's a lot of peril to hiring somebody directly in the home because you don't have backup.
Yeah.
And you are on your own out there. Something, if an employee decides to do something wacky, like, and especially with home care. I mean, you've got vulnerable, often lonely seniors out there. Caregivers can prey on them. This is elder abuse, by the way. It's, you are required to report it if and when it occurs.
Yep.
But it does occur, and you see people all the time of caregivers writing checks, like taking the client's checkbook, forging the name, going off. And if you hire directly, sure, you can prosecute them criminally, but there's no recourse. If you hire a company, the company will stand behind its caregivers,
yeah.
And that's the difference.
And my understanding is companies with insurance, like bonds and things like that, they have the funding and the insurance policies,
sure,
to actually pay the family back, where a caregiver who maybe is criminally prosecuted may not be able to.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. And you know what? And I want to be very clear. The vast majority, I'm talking upwards of 98% of caregivers, are solid, heartfelt people who really, really want to do a good job.
Absolutely.
But there are times where things will go off the rails. And
yeah,
that's why it's kind of, it's the guardrail on the side of the highway,
yeah,
right? It's there. You hope you never have to use it, but you're really glad you have it.
Absolutely. I think with any business, you know, the majority of the people are good people.
Absolutely.
And I really appreciate you mentioning that, because the caregivers that we work with, and I'm sure the caregivers that you work with, the work they do is tough.
Yep.
And they don't necessarily get acknowledged or rewarded for the tough work that they do all the time. And so I just want to second what Bob is saying, is that just like with any employer, I would say a majority of these folks are tremendous people that we're very fortunate to have.
I just want to backtrack just a second, because for the people listening who might not be as familiar with some of those cases that you just mentioned, a scenario where somebody hires somebody privately and they're living in the home, and then maybe services are no longer needed. I've heard stories about having to legally evict somebody, and then you're paying unemployment for the person to be living in your home, and all sorts of craziness. Can you just kind of, you know, briefly summarize or explain kind of what can happen,
sure,
specifically?
So here's the deal. Live-ins are a particularly challenging sort of environment, because you have someone who's there. So it's critical that, and this is true for any person you hire in your home, you have to have a written employment agreement to protect you. So if you're going to hire directly, you have a written employment agreement that says, hi, you're not a tenant. And you agree that your occupancy of these premises ends when your at-will employment ends. And you agree to vacate these premises within 24 hours of your employment ending or whatever it may be. And you have lots of language in there trying to protect you against these issues. And if you don't have that language, and let's face it, unless you hire someone to draft this contract, you're probably not going to have that language, then they're a tenant. And as a tenant, they have the right to sort of due process before they get booted out on the street. And that due process can take 30 days. Okay. So imagine having a disgruntled employee in your home for 30 days. It's insane. And it can happen. And so what happens is these people extort the families and say, hey, want me to cut this short? Great. Let's do a settlement agreement. You pay me $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is, and I'll move out earlier. And it happens all the time.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah, well, as you can see on our recording today, Bob has quite an extensive knowledge base through experience. One thing I didn't share earlier is Bob, in his travels, has actually been, quoted and interviewed in quite a bit of media, including CNN, Wall Street Journal, ABC News, local Channel 7 as well. And Bob, I know you can't name names, but you work with some pretty well-known folks. Is that correct?
Sure. So. Yeah. Our individual client base is kind of fun. It's sort of the spice to the practice.
Yeah.
We've got celebrities, we've got CEOs, we've got politicians. And these are people, frankly, who hire directly. And it's not just for caregivers. They're hiring personal assistants, they're hiring security, they're hiring nannies, they're hiring drivers. It's a wide variety of things. They want to be buttoned up with confidentiality agreements. Like oftentimes you step foot on the property and you're shoved the confidentiality agreement before you step foot on that property.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it, you're talking about political careers, you're talking about celebrities who are very concerned about things. You're talking about CEOs in Silicon Valley that, you know, you leave an iPad out on the table and it could have the financial results that are going to be broadcast tomorrow, or somebody comes over and visits and they're talking about mergers and acquisitions. And that sort of confidentiality is absolutely critical.
Yeah. Well, very good. So basically 2016 might be the calm, or might be yet another crazy year. This year, I understand, has been your busiest year to date. Is that correct?
Yes. This year, you know, it's funny. I was talking to my kids about this, and I said, you know, we've had the best year ever. And my kids keep saying, Dad, you say that every year. And I'm like, I know, but you have no idea what it takes to get to that level, right? So, Yes, it is. Last year was a record year. We're up over that this year. And it's very rewarding. It's the best way I want to describe it. And I'm not talking about the monetary stuff. Like, we get thank you notes with our bills. Who sends lawyers thank you notes? Are you kidding me? Like, that's just crazy. I've gotten drawings from kids when we help families hire nannies, and the kids will send like a little drawing or something. Or like, I get these really kind thank you notes from home care agencies, because a lot of them are mom and pop, or even the bigger ones. And they'll just write something like, they'll say, or they'll send an email and they'll say, you made me feel so much better through this process. And it's that sort of affirmation that reminds me why we do what we do.
Yeah.
And it's very, very, it gets me up in the morning.
Yeah. Well, I know I've worked with you before to clarify with some of our community partners what non-medical care agencies can and can't do. And even when you were slammed, I think you called me back within an hour or two and said, I'm slammed. Can I get this document created for you next week? So I firsthand experienced the fact that, no, you couldn't help me immediately, but you can communicate immediately and provide a solution
Listen,
and a plan.
Listen, so. I'm a believer that lawyers are like plumbers, okay? If you need a plumber, generally, you don't need him a week from now. You need him now because your toilet's overflowing, okay?
Yeah.
I am ridiculously responsive. I take calls weekends, nights, whatever, because it's important to my clients, so it's important to me. And I also believe that we get a good chunk of our clients because I personally answer the phone.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't go to voicemail. You're calling, you're going to get me. And if there's any way possible, I'm answering that phone. And so many lawyers these days don't answer the phone, or don't return calls, or don't do it promptly. Yeah. Half of life is showing up.
Yep.
I show up, and that's how I get clients. I'm absolutely convinced of it, and it's been our mantra since day one.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing I think is pretty funny but also admirable is anytime I've met with Bob or scheduled something with Bob, in his emails, he always writes, great, I will see you or speak with you on this date at this time. He's always confirming it, and it's very impressive.
I can second that. It's easy to see why you love doing what you do, the passion that you have for this industry, and I think it's very admirable. I think we should all be so lucky. I know Gavin and I feel very fortunate to also love what we do, and to see it come across. I've seen you speak. Social media. I think after the last time I saw you speak, I went and followed you. How can our listeners maybe get in touch with you or follow you on a Facebook or tweeting anything like that?
I'm a big believer that you don't need a lawyer for most things. And part of that is being up to date on the law. And so what we do is on our Facebook, on Twitter, and on LinkedIn, it's just Legally Nanny. Just search for Legally Nanny, LegallyNanny, or go to our website, legallynanny.com. You'll see the links there. We provide regular updates for household employers and home care agencies and the whole household employment industry. About 2 to 3 times a week, we don't clog up your feed, but you will get useful useful posts with links so that you know how to get the information that will help you.
Yeah, and I know I've used those links in my own career when I'm talking to the community and saying, hey, this isn't just a lawyer giving an opinion here. Yeah. This is facts and data supporting this.
Yep.
So very much appreciate those links, and we're about to end our episode of Pop Health Podcast. And Bob, the future of home care, what do you think?
I think the future of home care is bright. You have the baby boomer generation that is aging. They don't want to go to a nursing home. They need the care. If you do it right, you will do well.
We agree. And I think it's all about being open to change. I think that's been a mantra that we've followed, integration of all these new laws and policies. And I think as well as just really loving our care staff and showing how much we appreciate them. So Bob King, one of the most well-known attorneys for in-home employment in the state and nationally, has been our guest today. Bob, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the plugs for Legally Nanny. Always appreciate that.
Always good to see you, Bob.
Thanks, guys.
And have a very safe drive and a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, same to you.
Take care, everyone.